Adams. A call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Yes, you know what night this is. Here's a clue. It involves burgers, hot dogs, nachos, and chili. For many, tomorrow will be painful. But fear not. The American adversaries are here as your bicarbonate, buffered aspirin, and generally good-feeling alternative to some silly game going on tonight. Lair Adams with you as we get out of the huddle to kick off tonight's three-hour game. We are live, especially our host. At least we think he is. Christopher Hart!
Of course, Lair Adams is talking about the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah. It's on now, but I'll tell you, the first half, real, real rough stuff going on there.
You know, we have a dog from Orlando, or the Orlando area, who's in the Puppy Bowl this year. Pong is the dog's name. So if you're watching this afternoon and you see Pong highlighted, supposedly got the MVP. What?
Where is this played?
In New York. It's played in a studio in New York.
I didn't.
A studio about the size of our studio here.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And this year, I'm not sure if they do this every year, but I believe this year all the dogs were rescue dogs.
Yes. They're from the North Shore Animal League on Long Island. They all have since been adopted out.
And, well, one was from here.
Really?
Yeah, Paul.
They sent him up there, then.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a whole lot of fun watching that. Of course, that other game's on, too, if
hopefully,
you want to pay any attention to that.
Although, you mean the kitty bowl. There's a kitty bowl on.
Oh, okay. Somebody will introduce him to a cute little puppy named Ping.
Ah, okay.
No, Pong.
No, okay. All right, folks, listen up. We're here. We're live, and we want you to be a part of the show if you'd like to be, too. 407-774-8255 is the number. We're the American Adversaries. This is our Sunday three-hour tour, and this is the American Hours Super Sunday 4. That's right, guys. This is the fourth time we've been on Super Bowl Sunday. Carl, you've been with us 2 now.
That's correct.
And us guys have been here 4. Johnny's been would have been 3 if he was here last night, but he's with his brother. But we'll still include him as being here.
And if you're counting for Sunday nights, we are the American Adversaries Sunday Night Show number CLXXI.
All right. Get out your Roman numeral calculator, and it'll tell you just how many that is. And, of course, Jeff Sinis has been here for every one, except I think maybe one of those shows. So, of course, he's been here for all of our Super Sundays. Jeff Sinis is guiding us through the ether tonight from the bridge of the American Adversaries. We have Carl Jackson in the studio, and that...
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, you had a blistering show yesterday morning. You can, of course, find it. Where can they find your show?
SoundCloud.com or right on our Facebook page. Go to Facebook, look up Carl Jackson Show, and then you'll find us there.
All right. And Nostradamus is that other voice, of course, that you heard. He's our executive producer and resident prognosticator.
Hi, y'all. Yeah, I've already prognosticated. It's up on the Facebook. Denver 30. Seattle 21.
Ooh, so. He's out on that limb.
There we go.
The proverbial limb.
Yeah. I didn't bet on it, though, because if you start using your powers for profit,
evil?
Then you lose them.
Okay.
So I can't do
that. Well, now, Chris, you were talking about Jeff behind the glass, and he, of course, joined us last night for the fantastic wrestling matches downtown.
WWE
and,
Live!
Oh,
and,
yeah!
You know what? I thought that we were going to have to grab Jeff and hold him down in his seat. He kept wanting to just run down into the ring and jump in there with the Big Show.
I can see that.
He didn't wear Speedos and leather boots last night, did he?
Kane, you know, the little guy Kane.
can you out here?
Jeffy be bad? Is that what we're talking
about? You can't see me. It was a great show. WWE Live was in town last night. They'll be back in town this summer in July for SmackDown, which will be on a Tuesday night taping.
But it was a big card.
It was. Of course, John Cena was in the championship bout against Randy Orton. And, of course, Randy Orton got himself disqualified. this match
Chris
last
saw night, it coming.
Yeah. These matches last night were what they call dark matches. In other words, they won't be seen on TV. So it was only seen for the audience. But I noticed something that there were changes. There weren't as nearly as many. There weren't any pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
Need if you don't have a TV audience.
Well, of course you do for the live audience. They didn't have their big Jumbotron screen, but of course you have the big scoreboard screen that's permanently there anyway.
But no cameras for it.
But I did notice that the wrestlers were far more interactive with the audience. The people who were sitting around the ring and sitting along the ramp where the wrestlers come and go from and to get into the ring, and they were shaking hands all along the way. Lair mentioned. Did you mention Randy Orton? Anyway, Randy Orton. When he was wrestling John Cena, there was this one kid, sitting in the front row, and he kept yelling at Randy Orton, and Randy Orton got right up in his face, and the kid was like poking his finger in his chest. It was hilarious.
Oh, the kid loved it.
It was great, and they, of course, put on a great show. And guess what? If you'd like to meet John Cena, you can do so at Full Sail Recording Studio over here in Winter Park. You can go to, NXTtickets.com to find out more information. It's going to be February 27th. And 28th, and you'll be able to get a package for both days, which will get you backstage access and meet some of these guys like John Cena, Shawn Michaels, legendary wrestler, Bret the Hitman Hart, distant cousin, and Paul Heyman is also going to be there, the hated Paul Heyman, as well as some of the new talent coming up, which Jeff got his picture taken with some of the new talent last night, including that new diva.
That was pretty cool. I hope they make the SmackDown and Raw roster.
There you go. By the way, did you notice those 8-inch spikes that little diva was wearing?
what diva was that?
This is the NXT champion. She's Paige, is I guess her name. And she was there last night, and what they were doing, once again, they're much more interactive with the audience. They had these NXT, when NXT is like the next talent. These are the people they're grooming for the WWE big stage. And
couple from Florida.
And they had all the champions there, and pretty much the whole time, didn't they, Jeff?
Pretty much.
And so people, there was all, the whole time they were out there during the matches were going on, and there was a long line the whole time as parents and kids and people like me and Jeff queued up. And actually, I just stood there, but I did take pictures and went through and got to meet them and shake their hands and get your picture taken with them and all that good stuff.
Two young guys, one from Crystal River and then a fellow from Brooksville.
Yeah.
Who were in the big matches.
Yeah. That's right. So, some great new talent coming up through the WWE. And, of course, they have that new training facility right here on the southeast side of town.
I got to get over there and see that thing. I've heard that thing is really impressive.
Yeah. Dennis, I'm sorry. I really don't think you're professional wrestling material.
I was going to say, you're going to have to get past the doorman.
I can be a
manager. You might
want
to take Carl.
That's true.
Yeah, Carl can be your wrestler. You can be his manager.
Carl Edmicky. Yeah, that's right. All right.
I want Carl to be one of those guys that hits his head on things, you know?
All right, it is Super Sunday. We'll get to we'll be talking about the game off and on tonight. When the game does start, we'll try to keep you up to date. Johnny Guns isn't going to be here tonight, but Jeff Sinis will help us out keeping you up to date on the game. Of course, after the game or during the game, if you like, come on over to Cafe Positano and join us for the potty over there. And don't forget, for $20, you can get in on a raffle ticket, $20 per ticket to win a 60-inch LED Sharp TV.
I know people TV that are shorter than 60 inches tall. That's 5 feet.
Well, that means diagonal, you know.
Still,
the game already started now. I heard the Cocker Spaniels were ahead.
Oh, don't worry. They'll come
the puppy
back.
Bowl. Don't okay,
worry. I'm talking about that other game.
Oh.
And of course, one of the more interesting parts about the Super Bowl is the commercials. And Tim Tebow is going to be in a cute commercial.
I heard that.
Tonight.
I've heard the theme of the commercial. It's very cute.
Yes, it is. So you guys will have to be looking out for that. It has something to do with. Well, I won't even mention that. We're going to go ahead and do a show tonight, though. We're going to talk about the State Department, what I'm calling dumping on BO, because. Of course, B.O. being Barack Obama, the State Department has said, no, we don't have any problem with the Keystone Pipeline. So now it's back in Barack Obama's hands, which is the last place he wants it to be. Now, of course, Nostradamus has got some past to talk about. Carl's got his corner to do.
Now, Chris, he's got to study it.
Dan Peterson is going to come in and talk about some property rights with us. They have a conference coming up this Wednesday. The Heritage Foundation is going to make a presentation about property rights. And it's right on time, because did you see where the church hasn't been taken by eminent domain, but evidently two other properties downtown were taken it by eminent domain in order to build a soccer stadium, which belongs down on I Drive, in my opinion. So we'll be talking about that and their presentation with Dan Peterson in the first part of the second hour. Then I want to talk during the second hour also about what I'm calling the Myra Mirage. You guys have heard about the new Myra plan Obama kicked off?
No, I haven't.
Is this like where the average guy can have an IRA
exactly.
for $25
yes.
starting
yeah.
at, you know,
yeah, we talked
bucks.
A little bit about this the other day, but I want to go into a little
that's
bit more
that's where your
tonight.
Money goes that Chris will tell you about. That's kind of,
yeah, it's a great deal for big government.
Yeah.
Lousy deal for the people who take advantage of
oh,
it.
Oh, come on now.
If you take, let's just put it this way. If you take advantage of a Myra account, plan on being taken advantage of. All right. And Sunny, our California Glow Girl, is going to join us.
On Super Bowl night?
Yeah, wow. On Super Bowl night. We're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl with her. Of course, she's a big sports fan. And being
and
a professional
wrestler. She's behind us, too, time-wise.
Yep. And did you know that women are underpaid in Hollywood?
I heard that.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about that with Sonny tonight. And did you hear that Henry Waxman is out? And guess who may?
Yeah.
Who may be in?
What the fluke?
That's right, so we'll be talking about that too. I also want to talk a few minutes about the astronauts. You know, this past week we celebrate. We had 3 days of remembrance. Celebrate is not the right word because of the Apollo astronauts,
sure.
The Challenger, and the Columbia astronauts. So we'll spend a few minutes at least tonight talking about them. We've got some WTF news, even though Johnny Guns isn't with us. Dallaire's got his closing comments. But before we go to the break, Jeff, give us another minute so we can go to Brian Steibel, who's on the line. Hey, Brian, how you been? Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for giving me the airtime. I won't take much of your airtime. I do want to say something though that's important. Want to say hello to Chris, of course, and the Lair, and one of the best broadcasters I've ever had the honor of working with. That would be Nostradamus, who I call Dennis because that's his real name, as you well know.
Oh, you gave it up.
That's his last name, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It was a thrill to work for the year or so I did on your program, and I'm eternally grateful to you for that. And I do have something important to say, but first I'm going to say I'm not going to say hello to Carl Jackson, who still owes me a serious apology for seriously mischaracterizing me as a liberal when he knows I'm a Reaganite. To his audience, he did that, and until I hear an apology from him, he gets no hello from me. The reason I wanted to call is you're proving that you guys are the kind of pro broadcasters I always hoped you would be, and I'm going to even take a little credit for pushing you in that direction in the early days of your show every Sunday night, all 171, if I got my Roman numerals right.
You did.
That Dennis calculated there. In the early days of the show, I kept telling you got to do a pro sounding show, and eventually you started doing one, and I have an assist in that regard, I do believe. But you've really demonstrated what a pro you guys are by not doing what a clown like Dennis Prager would do, and that is just throw a best of, a supposed best of, which is really a worst of show in his case, on when you're opposite the Super Bowl. Instead, you're doing a live broadcast, and that's to be proud of.
All right. Well, thank you so very much, Brian. We appreciate it.
We do. That is cool, Ryan. Thanks.
Yeah, Brian, and you take care. And next time you see me personally, like you did at Cafe Positano's, I'd appreciate if you come up to me and we'd speak man to man.
I tried to find you.
No, you walked right by me, and you said hello, and you played nice, so I'm pretty amazed that you're coming on live air to now gripe when you saw me face to face and you played nice. So
next time,
Brian, you know we clarified this on air and after you got off air, and I made clarifications that day. So for
I
you,
don't remember
so
that. I
obviously you don't. But I did, and you saw me in person, and you said nothing to me then. So I find it pretty disingenuous that you would come on live air and say it now. But thank you.
Well, I'm not a disingenuous person. I resent
you just fooled me. You just fooled me, Brian. So hopefully we'll see each other face-to-face in person, and then we can take care of it then.
I'll be happy to shake your hand, but I do expect an apology.
I expect one from you for mischaracterizing what I said. Thanks, Brian.
All right.
Well, then we're even.
All right. Okay. Thanks, you, Brian, for your call. We appreciate it. And once again, folks, we are here live. That was live radio.
Touchdown.
407-774-8255 is the number. And don't go away. We will be here. As Brian said, live until 8 o'clock, at which time we hand it off to Mark Walters. Is he going to be live?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he will. I don't think he takes Super Bowls off.
I don't think he does either. That's right. So you're in the right place, folks. Stick around.
We will be back, of course. Don't forget that phone number, 407-774-8255. Let us know you're there.
These guys stimulate my brain.
Hello and welcome back. That was the Patricia Summerlin talking about the American Adversaries on AM 660, and, The Answer.
And Carl, she's going to stimulate us later on.
I'm not going to respond to that.
She's going to call in. She has stimulating conversation.
All of our brains at once.
And she's going to be on
Admittedly,
about an hour and a half of the show.
I think it's really great conversation with her now. I think I look forward to hearing the conversation. Really do.
All right, and that is Carl Jackson. That other voice was Lair Adams. Nostra Dennis is in here, along with me, Christopher Hart. And in all fairness to Carl, we also called Brian Liberal at that one time. Sometimes,
thank you.
You know, he comes across, you can't understand if he's liberal
or not. He just wants
not.
To be precise. That's all the man wants.
We understand. We understand.
Well, guys, I got to tell you, one of the very first times that we encountered Brian, Chris, you'll remember, he called to discuss our syntax.
Syntax.
And we were wondering which sin that he was talking about, taxi. And then we realized,
of course, he was talking about S-Y-N, not S-I-N.
Yes.
That would be the sin of ignorance on some of our
Now, see, only really good host would go ahead and say, we admit that we said,
all right.
Really?
Okay.
We need more time to correct the errors we make when we're on the air. Another hour a day would be good.
There you
just
go.
Just saying.
All right, just saying. Speaking of hours, and let's see, a little less than an hour now the game kicks off, right?
About 6:30.
About an hour.
You don't have to promote other people's broadcasts.
Well,
we can talk about
us. What I was going to say is a great place to watch it and do like Tim does, you know, listen through your iPhone or whatever from Cafe Positano.
Or just sit next to Tim. He'll turn it up for you.
Yeah, they got some great goings on down there tonight. The 60-inch TV that's being raffled off. Tickets are only $20 a piece. And, you know, the odds got to be good. And there's going to be 2-for-1 domestic beer and house wine there. There's going to be lots of pizza and chicken tenders, mozzarella sticks, the regular menu. So it's going to be a great time. And I'll be heading down there after the show is catch the second half. So come on down there and join us.
And you know what Louis said when we were there last week? And I thought this was really cool. Any money they make over and above the cost of the TV is going to go to the charity of choice of whoever wins the TV.
Yeah.
Is that cool or what?
That's cool.
My charity would be me, so it
goes.
It's not going to work that way. Yeah. The money will be, the check will be made out to the charity directly, and it will have to be a nationally recognized charity.
Now, me, guys, I'm the guy that's
that leaves us out
about football and team sports. I'm not that big on it. However, you know, when they say the game starts tonight at 6:30, it's not going to start at 6:30, is it? I mean, you're going to have people there on microphone. You're going to have people there.
No, they have it. They pretty well have those things choreographed really well right now. The way they do it, it's pretty well down to the minute. It is. And they say it's going to kick off at 6:35. It'll kick off pretty
something
close.
Something in there between 6:30.
Pretty close.
See, there's that in between and iffy thing.
Yeah,
so,
a few minutes.
But it's not going to be much. I'll guarantee you that. That's one of the amazing things about the Super Bowl, as a matter of fact. I was in the production business for a long time where we did, well, not a long time, but a number of years, where we did live productions.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the live productions that we did were convention productions. And these go on. We don't know what's going on. If the Orlando citizens knew what was going on down in the south end of town every day, they'd want to spend all their time down there because the big entertainment comes and goes and you don't even know they're here because mm-hmm. they come and go for convention acts, right? Convention shows. And we used to do the staging, lighting, sound, and all that sort of thing. I had Maria Osmond run right up into me, basically ran into my arms one night because I was walking in a hallway where she was going from her dressing room to the stage area, and she was panicky. They say she's suffers from a great deal of stage fright.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of big entertainers.
I never guessed that in a million years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's done a lot of TV. And see, when you're doing live stuff, that's different. An entertainer can't fudge the live stuff.
It was a convention for Coca-Cola at the Greenleaf Resort down there in Haines City. Anyway, what I appreciate a lot about the Super Bowl is how they can pull off that production as precisely as they do. No, they get it down really close to the precise minute because they have to. That everything depends on a precise schedule. You can't stray too much from it. Now, of course, you have the game. You can have the variances in the timing of the game, but everything else has to be down to the minute.
The halftime show, the way they pull a whole stage out in a matter of 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Put everything up, get the show started, get the show done, push it all off the field, and it's ready and playable.
We used to set up stages like that. In about 2 days' time.
Yeah.
Wow. We set up big stages downtown for Light Up Orlando, and those had to be done in a day's time. So if you get enough people, enough equipment,
Ants. You
can do anything. You can move
Ants.
A mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, though, it's fascinating to watch how they, you know, really have the whole thing choreographed because it is a huge undertaking that takes a lot of effort. And if you are not detail-oriented, you will crash and burn in that business so fast you won't even be able to know what happened.
And here, boy, when we come in for our Sunday night show, check mics. 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay, let's go.
Of course, this is all set up, ready to go. But that's the fascinating thing about the Super Bowl. By tomorrow afternoon, be all gone.
Yeah, and the other difference is there's no pom-poms and gorgeous girls jumping down and shaking their pom-poms.
What? Yet.
Oh, look at here.
Oh, Dennis.
I promised Larry we weren't going to talk about the Super Bowl all night tonight, but we kind of have in the first half hour of the show. When we come back, I promise we'll get into some business, folks.
Now let's just talk Super Bowl. No. yeah, like Chris said, we will be back. We'll actually talk scuttle.
Professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Hi, welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you for being with us. 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget to keep that phone close because at some point during the night, we're going to give away some Roxy Pacifics, the great all-new antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, all-natural kelp water-based fertilizer for your skin treatment stuff.
I did an experiment, guys.
What's that?
I didn't tell either of you about this. I had these two little cuts on my arm, and I was picking at them because they were itchy and they were scratching.
Right.
Deliberately, I decided not to do anything with them for about a week.
Uh-huh.
Well, they stayed the way they were. On Monday, I decided, all right, time to break out the Roxy Pacifics. 5 days later,
gone.
You see them?
I don't
you
see
know where they are?
See?
What? Why did you wait so long?
Just to see if it really worked. And you know what? It really works.
All right. It is great stuff. You can find out more about it at roxypacifics.net. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. And don't forget the price you see per bottle is the total price you pay because shipping and handling is included. And we'll be giving that Roxy Pacifics away tonight on the rocks on Ed Roxy of Roxy Pacifics.
He's also given some to the military, to our boys in the military, which
I thought that was really cool.
That's right. And it is really great stuff.
In the Middle East,
we're finding more and more uses for the stuff. And it's safe to use, and we'll be talking more about that later on. Before we get to Nostradamus predicting the pass, I just want to spend a couple of minutes talking about the State Department dumping on BO, on Barack Obama, because they released their analysis after some, 1,960 days it took them to do this. You know, that's almost twice as long as this joker's still going to be in office. That's like 6 years, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not quite 6 years, but it's over
close.
5 years.
It's close.
They finally come out with their report, and it basically, it's 11 volumes. Now, what's in a volume? I don't know, but it's probably a couple inches thick per volume. Do you know how many pages it was, Carl?
It's the government. No, I don't. It's got to be thick.
A lot of numbers of pages in their analysis to come to this one simple, pretty much basic conclusion. And I want to now quote from the report, and no, I'm not looking at the 11 volumes. Approval or denial of any one crude oil transport project, including the proposed project, is unlikely to significantly impact the rate of extraction in the oil sands.
Now, wait, which partisan organization put this out?
This was the United States State Department.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, not them. You can't trust them.
Right. This is the report that Barack Obama has been putting off his decision. You know, he doesn't like to make decisions. We've talked about this before. So he's been putting this one off because he doesn't want to make it because he's going to make somebody in his camp mad. He's already been making the unions mad because these are good union jobs. I'll talk about the numbers here in just a second. The government itself, so the State Department says, would result from the Keystone Pipeline. But if he does approve the Keystone Pipeline, make the unions happy, then he's going to make all the greenies mad. And in particular, certain greenies who give whole lots of money to the Democrats. This is one of the parts of the big lie of the green movement, and that is that they're not for the average guy. They're all a bunch of rich people taking advantage of the average guy.
No, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Chris, because if you take the time to do the research like we do here, you can see the crony corporatism pretty easily and readily. And you see this is what these guys do all the time. They claim to be for the middleman, they claim, or the small man. They claim to be, you know, for the little people and health of the earth and all this kind of madness. And you see what happens is these guys' pockets get lined.
You ever heard of Tom Steyer? Perhaps it's pronounced Steyer. It's Steyer. Tom Steyer is a billionaire who lives in San Francisco. Big greenie. Made a lot of money being a big greenie. Billionaire. He's threatening to cut off the Democrats from being on his Christmas card list, which means, you know, comes with a lot of money, the donor list, if Barack Obama dare approve the pipeline.
You know, when you put together an attitude of dividing people as much as possible, it's going to come back to you.
Well,
you're going to end up being the one that gets divided eventually.
Well, and I think that the unions are going to actually, not the teachers' unions. Those are the one. That's the one union that Barack Obama has not turned his back on. All the other ones he basically has. But those unions will eventually perhaps come back to bite him. But nonetheless, let's just go there for a second. The State Department, the same department that just gave us this report, says that the project will create some 42,100 jobs. And that would be directly working on the pipeline, directly, which would be providing fuel, equipment, tools, and induced, which would be basically businesses, which would pop up like restaurants that would feed the workers. And those sort of things, you know.
Walmart's popping up.
Well, not Walmart's necessarily.
They would,
but
eventually.
Eventually, yes. And here's the dirty little secret about pipelines that the greenies don't want you to know. We've talked about on this show before. It is the cleanest way to transport this product, and by the way, the safest way to transport the product. Since we are not transporting it through a pipeline, it is still being transported. That's what the State Department report is saying. The State Department, let me just read it again. This is a quote now from the State Department. Approval or denial of any one crude oil transport project, including the proposed project, in other words, the Keystone, is unlikely to significantly impact the rate of extraction in the oil sands. In other words, what the State Department is saying is the oil's coming, and it's going to get where it's going, one way or another. And this is the best way to do it.
You don't hear stories about an overturned pipeline on the interstate.
No, but you do hear stories about, like, that town in Quebec that was burned to a cinder, 47 people killed because of an oil train spill. And by the way, they're now starting to transport ethanol as well because, and thank God, Barack Obama, in a moment of lucidity, he decided to cut back on the ethanol standards so we don't have to put as many gallons of ethanol into our gasoline as we used to. But now the farmers, like an addict, are used to selling, having this nice, easy product to grow and sell because you got this, you know, homemade market for it, which the government, you know, subsidizes. Now they're going to lose that subsidy, so now they still grow the product. So now what do they want to do? They want to sell it to an international market, which is okay, I suppose.
Selling our food to other countries as fuel.
If you want to look at it
still
that
makes
way,
no sense.
You old cynic you, but you're absolutely
still
right.
Still makes no sense.
You're absolutely right, but I mean, here they're already doing it. So they're saying, look, now we got all this ethanol, what are we going to do with it? So now they want to put it on trains to take it to places like New Orleans where it can be shipped to other countries where they use ethanol more heavily. Well, of course, the problem with ethanol is, depending on how far it's been refined, true ethanol is alcohol, and it burns like heck.
So we're selling our alcohol to other countries to use as fuel.
And not only that, but it's a flame you can't see.
That's a great point.
Do you remember when the Indianapolis cars used to use ethanol alcohol?
Oh, sure.
Almost pure
alcohol.
Funny
cars still do.
All right. Well, nowadays the guys wear these flame suits anytime they're anywhere near that stuff. And it goes back. If you watch some of the old films, I don't want to say it's funny, but if you see it, you will think that something's funny is going on if you don't know exactly what's happening. Because you see these crew guys who are working on a car, and all of a sudden they stand up and they're jumping around like they're dancing some funky dance. And you can't see what's going on, but they're on fire. They're burning. And they've discovered, well, we better be a little bit more careful handling that stuff. So now they have a much more efficient way of getting it in the fuel into the car without being spilled. And so ethanol is no by anywhere safer than oil, transporting oil on a locomotive, or excuse me, on a train and a train car. By the way, in 2009, President Obama took office. There were 9,500 carloads of crude oil. Those are those tanker cars you see, you know, the big black ones with the thing on the top that you probably had with your Lionel train as a kid, right?
That's my favorite car.
Yeah, the tanker car loads, 9,500 in 2009 of oil. Because we are now producing a whole lot more oil and do not have the pipeline capacity to handle it, in 2012 that rose to 234,000 carloads. All right. And in 2013, they think it's going to be around 400,000 carloads.
Wow.
And those carloads are only going to go up. And it's a very dangerous way to transport the oil.
Meanwhile, some railroad guy's making a whole lot of money.
Guys like named Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're making a whole lot of money, and we are spending it. But it is. I want to read just a part of a op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal this weekend talking about this. It says, the showdown has been a revealing window into the shifting power. It's talking about the showdown between the unions and the greenies, okay, because the unions want the pipeline. The greenies don't, okay. The showdown has been a revealing window into the shifting power within the Democratic Party from workers to big money Nob Hill environmentalists. Let me read that little sentence to you again, because I think it is absolutely correct. And the Republicans need to hammer this home. This is part of what I've been talking about, the liberal war on the middle class. And Carl is expanded that. They're also their war to keep you poor. If you're not in the middle class, they don't want you even thinking about going there. Jeff, please, 2 more minutes. Let me start again. The showdown has been a revealing window into the shifting power within the Democratic Party from workers to big money Nob Hill environmentalists. The State Department says the project will create some 42,100 jobs, many of them union jobs. But Mr. Obama has cared more about the lobbying of San Francisco billionaire Tom Steyer, who is threatening to cut off Democrats if Mr. Obama approves the pipeline. Talk about feeding the 1% while trashing the middle class. Right there it is. That's why I wanted. That's the whole reason why I wanted to talk about this story. That is, in essence, the lesson to take away from this. All you folks out there who think the Democrats are the compassionate party. Oh, no, they ain't.
And if you think they're the party of the little man,
yes.
this idea that they're just for the little people, they're for the common man, this is nonsense. They have President Barack Obama. Under his watch, there has been more crony capitalism under his watch alone than presidents, I forget how many decades, literally, combined. It's been outrageous. And this guy constantly claims he's for the little man, and he gets donor money, big business donor money, lobbyists into D.C. like you won't believe. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, sure enough is. So we'll see what happens now. Evidently, the White House is saying, well, that's not the end of it. It still has to go through some more, you know, approval process before it actually goes to President
Obama.
Yeah, like
the EPA. Give me a break.
So this fight ain't over yet. And, of course, our show ain't over yet either. We still have an hour and a half. Well, now an hour and 10 minutes to go. So stick around. We will be here with you live until 8 o'clock.
And 2 hours and 2 minutes.
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Did I say an hour and 10 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, all right. I'm losing my mind here.
Chris is taking off early tonight.
No, but we will be heading down to Cafe Positano. At least some of us will to catch the second half of the game this evening. So we'd love to have you come over and join us and get in on that raffle because hey, for $20 you could come away with a 60-inch LED Sharp TV. These things sell for over $1,000, brand new. All right. So and we got a brand new show going for you tonight because we are live coming to you. From Altamont Springs.
And not too far from Apopka, actually. Folks, American adversaries are always here almost except for Saturday nights. But here at 5 o'clock for the rest of the week, we're in drive time. But always, gentlemen, we are live.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries. Tough guy.
There he is, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, building a house overseas one plank at a time.
One board at a time.
Nostra Dennis here with the American Adversaries on this wonderful Sunday evening in Central Florida. And you know what time it is at this time every Sunday night.
Nostra Dennis.
Yes? Yes? Actually, no, Jeff, it's not time for that.
Today on Carl's Corner, we're going to talk about Nostra Dennis predicts the past.
Wait a minute. Let's try that again.
Sorry,
see, we threw Jeff off because usually I predict the past
in
the third segment of the first hour, but Chris went ahead and bumped me to the second hour, which is fine, because Carl is going to be treating his ladies to dinner over at Cafe Positano. So he's got to get his corner in and out and ready really, really quickly. So, ladies and gentlemen, Carl's Corner.
Okay, you guys know that it is Black History Month, and I love to celebrate Black History Month by recognizing what Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders have already accomplished and not bow down to these fake civil rights leaders. I've been extremely happy and impressed because in the last couple of weeks, there's been a couple of Black Christian rappers. Actually, one is a young lady that used to be a lesbian. That performs what's called the spoken word in the Christian community. Her name is Janet Hill, and she talks about coming out of the gay and lesbian lifestyle. And she also goes after this gentleman by the name of Macklemore, who's a very popular singer right now, who has this song, this huge hit that says, I forget the name, it's called Same Love, and they call it the gay anthem. He talks about he can't change even if he tried. He goes on to bash Christians and say that he used to be a Catholic or something like that. And so he bashes the Catholic denomination. He bashes conservatives. He calls them out on the show, on his song. But now there's been another rapper, a black Christian rapper that has come out and taken Macklemore's song. And I've actually posted this on, if you go to Facebook.com on American Adversaries page, I posted this because I know that it's rap. I know that it's something that you may not be used to. But the cool thing is there is starting to be a groundswell. I've told you before, black people, oftentimes they may not be politically conservative, but they are morally conservative, and they're starting to stand up against these people that are claiming this false civil rights movement. So what I want to do, if I could, is actually just read you his lyrics that this guy wrote. And some of you may be familiar with the Macklemore song. Maybe you're not, but I implore you to listen to the song and then actually go to this guy's website. He's a black Christian rapper. His name is Bizzle, or he goes by the name of Bizzle, B-I-Z-Z-L-E. And you can find him at godovermoney.com. But I want to read this to you because this guy did it better than I think I ever could, and he did it within a rap. And mind you, he used the same not the lyrics, but the same
same structure, the same same type of verbiage.
Exactly
just
right.
Put a different message.
Exactly
on it.
Right. So I want to read this to you. It says, it's funny how the media portrays things. They really pushing hard for this gay thing. And it's so wicked how they manipulate things. Can't even disagree without them making it a hate thing. I say you wrong and you holla hate instantly, but you say we the ones who don't tolerate differences. There's a whole lot of things I could say, really, but see your hypocrisy is something I could paint vividly. Saying it's the way you was born, and I'm sure that you lust just like I do. You just in a different form, but I'm married, so if I give in to mine, I'm a cheater. If you give in to yours, you just fight to make it legal. Now, keep in mind, I'm reading this just as if he's rapping it, but I'm just reading it. So if the wording sounds a little ghetto-fied, that's because it is specifically for rap. But just listen closely because the message is strong.
I was going to say, do you want me to? I'll go over here. I'll go.
No, okay. That's okay. We talked about this.
I'm liking this, though.
No singing, Chris.
No, I'll just read it.
I'm liking these lyrics.
No, it's pretty amazing. Now he goes on to say, you rather fight God than fight sin. The Bible is all right until it calls what you like sin. And I feel so disrespected that you were so desperate you would compare your sexual habits to my skin. Calling it the new black? Tell me where they do that. They hung us like tree ornaments. Where were you at? They burned us for entertainment. You go through that, huh? Moms raped in front of their kids while they shoot dad. Ever been murdered just for trying to learn how to read, bro? Nope. A show of hands. I ain't think so. So quit comparing the two. If it ain't the same fight. You can play straight. We can never play white. Using black people as pawns for your agenda. And these sellout rappers do whatever you tell them. Skirts on stages, campaigning for that black vote. Afraid to be blackballed, so they play that role. You were never oppressed. The devil was a liar. The only thing oppressed was your sexual desire. Keeping your desires oppressed is so lame to you. But when you get married, that's what you expect your mate to do, right? It angers you if I compare you to a pedophile, because he's sick, right? And you're better, how? Man, I ain't choose this. You think he chose that? But I was born this. Well, prove he wasn't born that. But you were never a girl. He was once 9. So at one time in his life, it was just fine. What makes your loss right? I'm not buying it. So put him in that same trash can you threw that Bible in. See how that cycle is? Nobody wants to repent of their evil. So we all try justifying it. And you say it's about rights, but you lying, though. Domestic partnerships gave you rights a long time ago. God created marriage. When he did, he defined it, though. So why is it he created, but deny him, though? It's not wicked enough. Switching the definition, you want it done by a Christian in a church he worships in. And that rainbow you using as a gay pride symbol, you stole that. It represents a covenant with God if you didn't know. Check Genesis 9:13 for the info. Homie, the war is spiritual. You don't know what you info. I ain't saying your sin's worse, but it is sin, though. The Lord took the punishment for it all on him, though. We just got to repent, though. The problem is, if you don't call it sin, then you walk as if it was nothing to repent for. Let's recap. We are wicked and desire sin, but imagine a world where no one kept their desires in. If something was called right simply because we desired it, when your right goes against my right, whose right would win? As for being born away, I should never say y'all. Ever see use a word like retard? Nope. To describe someone who was born a little differently than we are? I guess Down syndrome really isn't a thing, y'all. What do we call your syndrome? Oh, that term is offensive now when it hits home. So what gives you the right to call the way he was born a defect? I call yours a defect. You feel it's disrespect. You don't believe in God? Hey, the universe says if we are gay, we either die off or have to do it God's way. And God loves you no matter what you struggle with. At least struggle, though. Don't just give up and quit. I don't think I'm going to have enough time to finish it in the time that's remaining. But I encourage you, go to Facebook.com, go to the American Adversaries page. I posted it on there. And I'm going to implore you, those of you that know young people, to spread this. Because this is a cultural battle. And as a Christian, I believe there's a spiritual battle. But practically speaking, you want to win the culture. You want to start winning over young people. Nothing does it like rap. Rap is a powerful medium. And this guy, Bizzle, has done it. So go to American Adversaries on Facebook.com. Get that. Share it on Facebook.
You can also find Bizzle at GodOverMoney.com.
Exactly.
That's GodOverMoney.com. Great work, Carl Jackson. We'll be right back.
Fell into darkness. A call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversary, starting the second of our three-hour Sunday night tour. And don't forget, we'll be coming to you tomorrow night live as well for our drive time show at 5. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams and Nostradamus. We're joined in the studio now. By the way, you can join us too as well, 407-774-8255. And don't forget, we're going to give away some Roxy Pacifics during the show. And we also have our Who Said That contest coming up later on in this hour. But right now, we have a great friend of ours in the studio with us. Matter of fact, he played music for us at our, that was our 3 years Sunday night show anniversary. Yeah, and did a great job of it.
It was awesome.
Yeah, we're going to have to get him back again when we do our next party over there at Cafe Positano. And, of course, he can tell us where he's playing next. But the main reason we have him in here tonight is we're going to talk about a great conference that's coming up this Thursday that you're welcome to come to. It's all about property rights, and they got some folks from the Heritage Foundation who are going to put it on. But of course, I'm talking about Dan Peterson. Hey, Dan, how you doing tonight?
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Ah, we appreciate you coming in always. You are our expert when it comes to property rights, and we're talking about everything from eminent domain to clean air and clean water rules, all kinds of stuff. So Dan's the man when it comes to this sort of thing. And first of all, though, tell us what's happening Thursday.
Well, great. One of the things that Coalition for Property Rights has been investigating is the use of some of the more extreme environmentalist mandates and restrictions on property rights. And so I was at a conference with the Heritage Foundation this past summer, and I heard a guy by the name of Rob Gordon speak on some of these issues, and he took some of the laws that really served our country well, things like the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, a number of others, and talked about how in the initial days they really served a great purpose in helping us to clean up our environment. But in the past couple of decades, the what I would call the extreme environmental movement, the sustainable development movement, has taken those good laws and started enforcing rules and regulations that really begin to restrict property rights. And so I invited Rob to come and speak to us. And we've been working probably for two to three months to make this happen. But we're on Thursday, we're holding what we call our Issues Forum. It's a luncheon event. Starts at 12 noon, and we usually try to wrap it by 1:15. But Rob is going to be coming to share some of these issues on the environment and how they've just the overreach has gone completely out of control. He's got an outline that he shares. That's eight.
Before we go to that, where is it going to be, and where can people get tickets, or how do we do that sort of thing?
Okay, the event will be held at the Orlando Country Club, which is just a beautiful venue for this. Tickets for non CPR members are $45, and if people will send an email to info@proprights.com, that's info info at proprights proprights.com. They can make a reservation. They can also call 407-481-2289, and I'll be glad to reserve a place for them.
Okay, and that's the Orlando Country Club right there at Highway 50 and 441.
That's correct.
Yeah, it is a beautiful place. That's where, by the way, Chris Christie did the fundraiser here in town a couple of weeks ago. The first fundraiser after the whatever it was, which is still going on, whatever it is.
Washington Gate?
Yeah, no, that's New Jersey Gate. Washington Bridge Gate, though. George Washington Bridge Gate. Once again, that's to go to this forum that is going to be at noon on Thursday. Go to info@proprights.com. That's info@proprights.com, or give Dan a call at 407-481-2289. $45 for non-members of the country club. And Rob Gordon is going to do the presentation. He's with the Heritage Foundation, and you were getting ready to say what he's going to focus on.
Well, the Heritage Foundation has done an awful lot of research, and Rob has been the lead on this, and he's got incredible experience in all these areas. They have come up with what I would say is a guideline for future public policy regarding property and environmental concerns, and it's called the Eight Principles of the American Conservation Ethic. And they go into some of these laws. They talk about what was good about them, but how they have been abused over the years. And I call it, in a lot of cases, I call it environmental fraud. And that's the title of the message of this, is environmental fraud and property rights. And we've got some of that going on right here in our own backyard. We're right here almost in the epicenter of what is called the Wekiva Springs area.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for years, and I got involved in this about 2 or 3 years ago, for years people have tried to mandate that homeowners in this area change out their septic systems because they claim that these septic systems are polluting our waters and our springs.
The Wekiva Basin, right?
Wekiva Basin, and what the legislature refers to as the Wekiva Study Area. There's a defined area where this has been taking place. And their claim is that all these septic tanks are contributing large amounts of nitrogen into our water systems, and that's creating a lot of this algae problem that we run into. I did some investigation, did some study. There's numerous reports that have been written starting as early as 2006 and going into, I think, 2010, 2011. I read the reports. And they claim that there is science behind this claim.
Yeah.
Here's what I found out.
Oh, you got to watch out whenever they make this claim. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I read all the reports, and I found one report that did actually have some science. It was done by a firm that was hired in 2007 to go in and actually study septic tanks.
Okay. Which is supposedly the source of the problem.
Which is the source of the problem.
According to them.
Now, out of the 55,000 septic systems in the Wekiva area, what would you think would be a natural batch to study, a sample batch?
At least, what,
1,000?
You would think a lot.
Yeah.
And, of course, the climate, we have rainy seasons, dry seasons, so you'd want to look at that over a period of time.
Oh, at least a year or two, sure.
You would hope. And the legislature applied, provided the money to do this. Out of 55,000 systems, 3 were tested.
Oh, well, I'll give you
a
sample.
And the period over which those 3 systems were tested was a period of, on average, 12 days.
Oh, boy, yeah, that's going to give you some good hard science to work from.
I have to ask you now, did they really only test 3, or did they test a bunch and only pick out 3?
No, they really, the Department of Health went out and selected the 3 areas. There was one in Lake County, one in Seminole, and one in Orange County. And the firm was hired. They went out. They did the soil sampling batches. They were all radically different kinds of circumstances around these homes with these septic systems. But they only did 3. Now, here's what was interesting about it.
I was going to say, what was the results?
Well, it almost doesn't matter what the results were because the test in the final analysis, it said these 3 systems should not be considered to be typical of septic systems, and the results we have found here should not be extrapolated over the 55,000 systems in the area.
There you have it. The debate is over. The science is settled. So just shut up.
The people who wrote the report actually knew that there's no way in you know what.
Right. Don't use this to compose public policy.
These are atypical results.
Exactly.
They weren't atypical. They weren't enough results to make any kind of determination from.
Nevertheless, the head of the Department of Health at that time took those results and took all of the other, I would say, speculations. All the other things were built on speculations, estimations, and assumptions. They rolled all of that together and they sent a report to then Governor Charlie Crist, and they said, "Here's the problem." And they, in fact, did exactly what that report said not to do. They said, "Here is the scientific evidence shows that these are the results the septic tanks are putting this nitrogen into our systems." And so, to me, that's almost purposeful deception. It's doing exactly what they said don't do. So that's why I refer to it as environmental fraud. Mm-hmm. We're being given these mandates, and these mandates are expensive if they're going to be applied to us, and yet it's not based on science. I think everyone I've talked to in the Kive area wants to know what the truth is, and they want it to be based on science. They're not afraid of that.
Mm-hmm. What would the average homeowner have to pay to replace a system like that?
Well, if we go back to the legislation that was proposed back in 2009, 2010, they were going to have to change out their systems for a thing called a high-performance on-site waste management system.
Oh, boy.
It was electrically driven. It wasn't a passive system.
Right.
And that system was estimated to be a $10,000 to $15,000 hit to every homeowner. Think about that. There are 2.7 million homeowners in the state of Florida who are going to have to apply that. That's billions of dollars.
And then, of course, it being run by electricity, you have to buy that electricity to run it, and that's just something else that can go wrong with
and
the
when a hurricane hits and your power goes out.
And that's the most frightening situation.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, what was interesting was I read a report that down in Monroe County, a number of septic systems, they did mandate this. And over half of these high-performance, expensive systems failed. So we have the proof in the pudding.
It reminds me of, you guys ever watch King of the Hill?
Oh, yeah.
That cartoon? Well,
toilets.
Yeah, there was one episode where the low-flow toilets weren't low-flow toilets because you had to flush the doggone things. The case of Peggy Hill's case, 8 or 10 times to get it all down. But it's the same idea. All these great genius things, when you put them in practice, don't work as well as the old basic stuff. You know, Everett Husky was a big proponent of the septic system because it is, in essence, the most efficient sewage system because you're not dealing with a bunch of pipes and stuff.
Well, it is. And there are a lot of new emerging technologies that can solve this problem from what I've been able to study. In fact, I visited a research center at UCF. And I visited a professor there who developed a material. It's a medium, and you put this. It's like a sand layer. You put it either above your drain field, or you could put it below your drain field. But in testing, it seems to, from what I understand, it filters out 98% of any nutrients coming out of your system. Now, here's the cool thing about this. You know what this medium is made out of? It's made up of old ground tires. So they take this, you know, this eyesore, these tires that nobody wants. You grind it up. You mix it with sand and gravel to whatever mixture you need. You can apply that, and it, you know, that would eliminate any problem, if that's assuming there is a problem.
Right, yeah. And then once again, that is in line with the traditional septic system. It's you're just using a sort of a different medium for the drain field, but it's the same general idea. And you don't need electricity. All you need is water.
Well, also, too, I believe studies have shown that individual septic systems like this to get rid of waste is so much better than to transport it all into one big, gigantic system then try to deal with it.
That's what Everett Husky used to say over and over again.
Well, you know, recently, right here in Apopka, not long ago, there was a sewer system that broke.
Right.
And there were millions of gallons of raw sewage that came out of that. That it was a major environmental cleanup. I don't remember the media doing a lot to cover that. Yeah. But, you know, if a homeowner's septic system goes bad, you're the first one that wants to get it fixed, right?
Yeah,
but when that happens, that's a major catastrophe. So,
by the way, folks, you can come out Thursday to the luncheon, the Issues Forum, that's going to be at the Orlando Country Club. It'll be at noon on Thursday. You're welcome to join. If you're not a member of the country club, it's only $45, and that's the lunch is worth the $45, but you're going to get the presentation by Rob Gordon of the Heritage Foundation. You can go to info@proprights.com. That's just prop. info@proprights.com, or call Dan at 407-481-2289. Dan, you know, the Florida legislature is getting ready to take off here in a few weeks. Are there any bills that are going to address the problem we were just talking about, the issue we were just talking about?
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm afraid, yes, there are.
I was afraid of it. We should do like Texas and just have a legislature once every other year.
For anyway, 2 weeks.
Okay, go ahead.
But at this point, there's nothing that's been filed, but there are a group of senators who have been working on a draft.
Democrats or Republicans or both?
Actually, well, this is both, but it's being driven, in fact, by some Republican friends of mine.
Okay.
But the legislation is built around the idea of saving our springs. And I think we would all agree that the economy and the lifestyle of Florida is dependent upon the quantity of water we have and the quality of water we have. And I think everybody wants to have plenty of quantity and good quality water. There's nobody against that. But there are those who are saying we have to do some drastic measures. And I've seen the draft of this legislation, and it calls for those people who are within a certain radius of the springs, our major springs, what we call the, you know, these are the big springs, the first magnitude springs around the state. Those people, if they are within a close proximity to a municipality or a county, they're going to have to hook up to the public sewer system. So that's going to be quite an expense to do that.
You're talking about ripping up roads and all kinds of stuff, to lay
front
in
yards,
sewer
things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You have to install it, and then you have to collect for it, and people have to pay their money to tie up to that system.
Yeah, who's going to bear the cost of this?
Well, the proposal is to take a third of dock stamp money, that's the tax money that are paid for real estate transactions, take a third of that dock stamp money and put that in a trust fund that municipalities and counties can then here's the way it works, as I understand, the municipalities and counties actually have to initiate and start doing all the hookups, and then they apply for a reimbursement to come out of this statewide trust fund where all these funds are. Now, if the money runs out, which Doesn't that usually happen?
Yeah, all the time.
When doesn't it happen? When the government...
Pretty predictable.
If the money runs out, the municipalities and the counties will still have to carry forward with all of these hookups into the sewer system, which means...
There go your property taxes.
They're your property taxes. They'll figure out some... That's got to come back to the homeowners.
Right.
So
right. It
one
always
way
does.
Now, there's a lot of other things in this bill. I think one of the things that concerned me was... I read in the preamble of the bill that something called the precautionary principle is going to be in place. And that is, that basically says, we don't have time to wait for science. We have a problem, and we have to act right now. I'm serious in that.
It's global warming all over again.
I was going to say, ultimately, that's what the global warming people fall back on. Well, we don't have the proof now, but just in case it's happening, we better act right now. And that's what you're talking about right here. Is there something people can do with express their displeasure with this, find out more about it, perhaps join in your coalition? How can they go about that?
Well, and again, they can email me at info@proprights.com, and I'll be...
Dan Peterson you're talking about here. Okay, go ahead.
And we will send out legislative alerts. And again, I say, this is in a draft form, so this is not the final form. I don't know what will actually be filed, but it's something to really pay close attention to because it will affect a lot of people across our state, and especially right here in Central Florida.
Oh, in particular, right here in our listening audience.
But if they will send their email, then I'll be glad to let them know these alerts so that they can be kept up to speed with this.
Okay, that's info@proprights.com. And also, don't forget the Issues Forum, noon this Thursday at the Orlando Country Club, $45 if you're not a member, 407-481-2289 is Dan's phone number. Is that where they can book you for entertainment as well, Dan?
Well, actually, I have my own personal...
Well, tell us a little bit where you're going to play next and how people can get a hold of you, because you are really a great guitar player and entertainer.
Well, great. It's a lot of fun. It's a sort of a side thing I do. I do what I would call the soft rock pop classics of the 60s on acoustic guitar and vocals. And my email from which I do my bookings is I use my formal name, Daniel, and my email is danielplaysmusic@gmail.com.
That's good.
If they go to www.danielplaysmusic.com, it'll put you into my Facebook page as well. But I do every Thursday and Saturday night, I play at Tony Roma's down on I Drive, which is just a blast.
That's nice.
It's a lot of people international. I've lived internationally, so I really enjoy rubbing shoulders with an international crowd. And then various Friday nights, I might be anywhere. Playing at different places. So.
Yeah. All right. And don't forget, join up with this Coalition for Property Rights by going to info@proprights.com. That's info@proprights.com. And the Issues Forum, let them know by Tuesday at 407-481-2289. That's Dan Peterson at 407-481-2289. And we'll be right back.
Maybe some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right, welcome back. We got a really short segment, and I want to go straight to the phone line because this fellow's been hanging on a long time. Danny from Orlando, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing
great. I call once in a while, you know, but I'm a truck driver, and I listened to Carl on Saturday, but I couldn't call in. He's so right about he didn't mention the lawyer's name, but, man, we all know who he is. And, you know, for the people, boo crapola.
Don Morgan.
The pot is natural, Danny.
I didn't know if you were allowed to say it or not, because I didn't want you guys to get sued from creep. But, yes, why is he going for medical marijuana? It's disgusting. That is disgusting, and I just wanted to thank Carl for bringing that up on Saturday, and I missed him, and, you know, you guys, I, like I said, every night, 5 o'clock on my way home, I listen to you guys. I don't get a chance to call in all the time, but I listen to you guys.
All right. Well, I hope you'll keep listening to us, because you never know.
I always do, believe me. As long as you're on, I'll listen.
All right. Okay, because I might have some things to say about that particular subject you may not be too fancy about. But we'll talk about that later on. When we come back, we've got a whole lot more to go, including our Who Said That contest.
Keep on trucking, Danny.
That's right.
WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
All right, getting ready to hike the ball here. Actually, I guess they already did at the Super Bowl.
Omaha.
Yeah, come on. There was a kickoff. So, folks, don't even worry about it. We are the American adversaries. This game isn't all that you need to worry about. So I tell you what, to pique your interest to this radio show rather than watch the boob tube, let's do a giveaway, Chris. What do you think?
It's time for our Who Said That contest.
Who said what?
All right, you know, by the way, folks, Denver got the kickoff, I guess, and they started out on their 14. We'll keep you updated as well as we can as the first half goes along. And please join us over there at Cafe Positano right now. The game's on over there. They got a great raffle going for a 60-inch LED sharp TV, $20 is all it takes to get in on that. And, of course, you can buy as many tickets as you like, $20 each. And I'll be heading up there after the show's over to catch the second half. But you can go on over there now. The party's already started. We're going to have a little party of our own, if you will, because it is time for our Who Said That contest, and you know how this is played. We simply read a quote, and you tell us who said it. If you do, you're going to win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and the last of our 2014 calendars. Excuse me. Beautiful calendars that we got from Congressman Posey, Bill Posey, over there on the coast. So if you know who said this, call us at 407-774-8255. Who said, and I quote, "When you are through trying to improve, you are through." You know who said that? 407-774-8255. "When you are through trying to improve, you are through." Who said that? "When you are through trying to improve, you are through." If you know who said that, 407-774-8255. To get that $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. And you know, of course, Valentine's Day is coming up here in just a little over a week or so. You know, it'd be a great place to take that significant other, or even the whole family, on Valentine's Day to Cafe Positano. You can make reservations or just walk in for casual dining. And don't forget, if you need that piece of jewelry for your special person, go to Lake Mary Jewelers and say hello to Pasquale and Carl up there and Jamie. And that's, of course, at the intersection of Lake Emma Road and Lake Mary Boulevard, just right off I-4 on Lake Mary Boulevard there, the first intersection to your right. If you want to give them a call, their number is 407-878-6230. That's Lake Mary Jewelers, 407-878-6230.
Chris, you know, Pasquale's brother, Roberto, I think he's still trying to work on being able to spin a pizza into the shape of a heart.
Hey, guys.
Think, guys?
Should we have an update when scoring happens?
Should have a scoring update.
Scoring happened in the game.
Oh, wow.
First play of the game. No Sean Moreno of the Broncos took a handoff, ended up in the end zone, and got tackled. Safety. Seattle's winning 2-0.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he went 86 yards.
No. Seattle Seahawks on the board.
Well, you know, a lot of people said it was going to be their defense that makes the difference tonight.
It sure did at that time. My goodness.
Yeah, definitely. So, Carl, you know, first snap went over Peyton's head into the end zone.
Ooh, safety. Moreno must have ran it down and kept a touchdown.
He landed on the ball, but because he recovered it in the end zone.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Let's see. If you know who said when you are through trying to improve, you are through, give us a call at 407-774-8255. I see we have our friend Tim on the line right now who is calling from Cafe Positano. Perhaps he can give us a little lowdown on the festivities going on over there tonight, because he also thinks he knows who said that. So, Tim, thanks for calling.
How are you?
We're doing great. How about yourself?
Good. So who forecasted the rain that's happening?
Is it actually raining?
Yes.
I thought that was supposed to have been gone 2 days ago.
Oh, well.
Anyway, okay. you guys having fun over there? Is the game on and everything?
The game's on. It's early yet, but things are starting to heat up.
All right.
Seattle scored, and it's goofy. Everybody's complaining that they're pool numbers just got screwed up.
I bet it did with a two.
Two spot, yeah. Anyway, who do you think said, "When you are through trying to improve, you are through"?
Well, in honor of the Super Bowl, I think it was Broadway Joe Namath.
You know, you're on the right track. I will say that. You are definitely on the right track, but it was not Broadway Joe.
All right.
So, thanks for calling in with the guests, and I'll be seeing you up there in a little while if you don't leave before halftime.
No, I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll be here.
All right. All right. If you figure it out, like I say, you're on the right track. But it was not Joe Namath. All right. Okay. Thanks, Tim. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. Tim's a great fellow. Of course, he's always over at Cafe Positano, and we love that.
He's got good taste.
He does. And, of course, let's go now to Nestor from Orlando, who thinks he knows who said when you're through trying to improve, you are through. Nestor, thank you for calling.
How are you, sir?
We're doing fine. And yourself?
Good.
Excellent. Who do you think it was?
Well, I told you the screen or somebody else, but I'm going to say, can I change it?
You haven't voted yet.
Montana.
Who?
Joe Montana.
No.
Oh,
you guys are barking around the right area, but it wasn't Joe Montana. And it wasn't the other. You want to go ahead and say the other person you were guessing to, so at least our listeners will know who that was?
Okay. Yogi Berra.
Yeah, right. It was not Yogi Berra either. But if you sort of cross the two in a certain way, you might come up with the answer.
Yogi Montana?
Well, football and somebody
don't
that
give
did,
it away,
did,
Chris.
Did more
all
than
right,
just
all
play.
Right, all right, all right, all right,
all right, all right, all right, Nestor. If you figure it out, call back. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
That sounds like something Joe Montana would have said, though, because he was such a perfectionist as a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. And Broadway Joe actually had some pretty good sayings as well. But neither one of them was it, although, like I said, they're barking up the right tree.
Yeah, they're getting there.
When you are through trying to improve, you are through. If you know who said that, give us a call at 407-774-8255. While we still have a couple of minutes in this segment, I wanted to talk just a couple of minutes about this My RA thing.
Myra?
The Myra thing.
What about Myra?
Myra.
Ive.
That Obama came up with. They signed it with great fanfare Wednesday and handed over the paper to Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, so he could scurry off and put it into motion. And
put a little squiggle on it because that's his signature. It's a little squiggle.
Yeah. But my RA is, of course, my retirement account. And this is for people who don't have retirement accounts, mostly aimed at young people to get them into some sort of a retirement account. The problem is that this is the worst way to go about it in a number of ways. The only thing that is good about this is that if somebody does it and puts in money regular, then they get the habit of saving money going.
Kind of like an IRA.
The problem with that is that they're saving their money in the worst possible place to save it.
They're giving it to the government.
Well, you could probably actually make an argument that putting it in a savings account is a worst possible place.
Because you get no interest.
Exactly. And that's what you're not going to get here either. All right. Basically, these IRAs will be set up such that somebody can put it started off with as little as $25 and put in as little as $5 a month, and or as much as and I'm sure there are limits on it. But a person with an income up to almost $200,000 can participate in this. Now, if you're earning $200,000 and you're only going to start off with $25 and five, you got it. Don't even bother.
Yeah. You know
okay?
what? I'll say it. Listen to Dave Ramsey.
Exactly. You need to be saving a whole lot more than that. But let's just say you're somebody who only has the $25 and the $5. On the one hand, I suppose it would be a good idea for you to begin the process of saving. But the problem is, if you see this as going to be in any way a vehicle to provide for your retirement, which is the R you are sadly mistaken. Because at that rate of investment and that rate of return, and you're going to be basically earning about 1.5% or so per year, of which, of course, can be then eat up by inflation. But it will take you about 15 years or so to save about $15,000.
And that'll last you in retirement about how long?
Not very long.
Who knows?
Not
a year? Less than a year? 6 months?
It depends on how you spend it. But the problem is, it's a very ineffective way to save money, especially for a young person. A young person needs to take on the most risk because you have the most chance of gain. All right. And you have the most time to recover if you blow your wad. And so and especially if, for instance, if you were to have a child
And by the time that child was 8 years old, you put $10,000 away for that child. When that child gets to be retirement age, if you put it in the stock market and the stock market does what it's done, which is average about 7 to 10% a year since the beginning, it has ups and downs, but that's what it averages, you would not have to put in 1 cent more for that 8-year-old child than $10,000 by the time they're 8. Not 1 cent more would that child have to put into that money. By the time they're retirement age, they'll be a millionaire. Right? Ain't going to happen with the MyRA. No, sir. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we come back. We also have Barbara and Bob on the line who want to participate in our Who Said That contest. So we'll see if one of them knows who said, when you are through trying to improve, you are through. And we'll never stop trying to improve around here.
Now, if we don't, then Brian Stibe will call us up and yell at us.
He'll be all over us.
We don't want that.
Watch out for that syntax. We'll be back, folks.
And don't you dare call him a liberal.
Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy. Ho!
And away we go. And I got a scoring update from Carl Jackson. The Seattle Mariners have just hit a home run, and now they lead the Colorado Rockies 5-0.
Dude, I think you're thinking of the wrong sport, dude.
Oh, that's right. That's baseball. Yeah, the Seattle Seahawks now lead the Denver Broncos 5-0.
What a weird score. I wonder who has that in the box.
All right. Well, it's not a good start for the Denver Broncos. That's for sure. All right, Carl Jackson's watching the game over at Cafe Positano. Hope you folks have been joining us there as well. But right now, we have Barbara on the line, and she thinks she knows who said, when you are through trying to improve, you are through. Thank you, Barbara, for calling. We appreciate
it.
Thank you for being out there. And who do you think said it?
I'm just guessing Babe Ruth.
No, it wasn't Babe Ruth. No, okay. You strayed actually a little bit from the other direction. But let me ask you this. Have you ever gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics from us yet?
No.
How about a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics for playing in tonight's game?
Oh, thank you.
All right, you stay on the line and make sure Jeff gets that information from you, and we'll get that. Ed Roxy will send that to you right away.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Thanks for calling. All right, thank you for being in our audience. We really do appreciate it. Let's go now to Bob from Orlando. He thinks he knows who said, when you are through trying to improve, you are through. Bob, thank you for calling tonight. Who said it?
Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing excellent. Yourself?
Great. Thanks.
All right. Who do you think said it?
I think Vince Lombardi.
It was Vince Lombardi, the legendary Green Bay Packers, and then, of course, the Redskins coach. But he got all his fame from the Packers days. But it was Vince Lombardi. Are you a big Packers fan, or did you just guess it, or did you know that?
No, I just kind of knew it.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like something a coach would say, but he had a lot of sayings like this, you know, winning is habit forming. That's the good news. Bad news is so is losing. I'm paraphrasing, but he had some really good motivational things.
And you know where he was raised? New Jersey.
He was what?
Raised in New Jersey.
Raised in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Wow. That I did not know.
Yeah. I didn't either.
All right. Well, Bob, are you watching the game and listening to us?
Just pulled in the driveway and fixing to go in and watch the game.
All right. Well,
listening to you on the way home.
Turn up the radio.
Well, thank you, and we'll get that information from you. And we'll get. Have you gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics yet?
No, I never have. No, sir.
Well, you're going to get one of those, too. So you really hit the jackpot tonight, my friend. Thank you for listening. All right. Thank you. And it's 5-0 Seattle.
Okay, great.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Thank
you. You're generous tonight, Chris.
Yeah, well, it's on the rocks.
It's like it's a special night or something.
It's on the rocks. Ed Roxy of Roxy Pacifics. All natural kelp water. Great, great, great stuff. Everybody really, and I'm serious about this, everybody needs to have this in your medicine cabinet. I carry some in my car. You know, I sometimes get nicked or cut, whang my thumb with a hammer, and I squirt some of this stuff on it, and it really does make it feel better. So it may not be mama's kissing it, but it's pretty close.
Don't wang your thumb, would you? Don't.
Everybody, do I
hate doing that? One thing I do not hate is that when Nostradamus reaches down into that crystal ball of his and yanks out some stuff.
Oh, we have to hear it again?
Mm-hmm. Predict. Yeah. Thank you, 5 Minute Professor.
It's like deja vu all over again.
As soon as the show's over, I'm going to the 5 Minute Professor's house right down the street for his superb owl party.
Superb
owl. I'm going to have a superb owl t-shirt. It's going to be great.
Is that what he's serving?
Yeah. It's going to be nice. It'll be roasted. Maybe a little chestnuts in it. Yummy. Yummy.
Superb.
Little game bird.
These are the stories that fell through the cracks because we just ran out of time to talk about them. Republican Senator Tom Coburn revealed on Tuesday that his Obamacare insurance plan does not cover his cancer specialist, forcing him to pay out of pocket. The senator has been suffering from a recurrence of prostate cancer. He plans to retire from the Senate at the end of this current session. And he said on Tuesday morning, he's lucky. He is doing well. He's got great doctors. He's going to get great care, but only because he can afford it. Coburn was one of three GOP lawmakers who on Monday unveiled a sweeping alternative proposal to the Affordable Care Act that would gut the law's mandates and taxes and preserve some of the consumer's protections. Coburn says Americans deserve a real alternative and a way out. Unfortunately, this proposal is going to go nowhere in the Senate.
Yeah, most likely not while Dirty Harry Reid's running the show, but Dirty Harry may be out of a Senate majority leader's position come this time next year. We'll see.
On Wednesday, a federal appeals court rejected the Obama administration's attempt to keep secret the government's data on how much individual retailers take in from the food stamp program. In a ruling on Tuesday, the U.S. Circus Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circus turned down the U.S. Department of Agriculture's arguments that a provision in federal law protecting retailers' application information barred disclosure of how much the feds pay out to different businesses. Because the spending's not submitted by a retail food store, the information is not exempt from disclosure. Congress has clearly indicated its intent to involve the public in counteracting fraud perpetrated by retailers participating in the program. That announcement from Chief Judge William J. Riley in an opinion joined by two other judges. The judge said the USDA has found trading of food stamps for cash to be a significant fraud problem with about 10% of retailers in the system engaging in such fraud.
Yeah, anytime the government gives away money, you're going to have fraud and larceny, as people take advantage of that. And the problem here is they're not giving enough information out to adequately track the fraud.
That's right. Guess who's missing from Democratic states?
Joe Biden.
President Barack Obama.
Oh, I bet you Joe Biden is more welcome than Barack Obama.
He could be. Over the past 6 months, the president has only visited two states, North Carolina and Louisiana, where a vulnerable Senate Democrat is facing a tough race. And none of the states he was visiting on his latest tour have Senate Democrats up for re-election in the fall. Democrats are not really challenging the narrative that Obama's not going to help them get reelected in November. Right after the State of the Union address on Tuesday, Senator Mark Begich, Democrat from Alaska, said he would welcome the president coming to Alaska so he could show him all the great things going on up there. But if he wants to come up, I'm not really interested in campaigning with him.
Well, in North Carolina, though, Dennis, she never showed up to any of his appearances.
That's right. Kay Hagan was nowhere to be seen when he was there. And in Louisiana, Republicans questioned whether Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu would invite the president going forward after Harry Reid told CNN he was doing his best to encourage Democrats to do so. Speaking of Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, she's the incumbent. The Landrieu name in Louisiana is kind of like the Cuomo name in New York.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big political name.
Right.
She is running currently behind a Republican challenger, Bill Cassidy, who is a three-term congressman. Right now, in a 500 likely voter sample, a new statewide survey says Cassidy has 44% support from Louisianans, according to the poll, against Landrieu's 40. 5% like another candidate, 11% are undecided. If Mary Landrieu can't get reelected, that spells big problems for the Democrats in the Senate.
It no doubt does. And Barack Obama is going to help them get unelected.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not sure whether he really cares. Let's go up to Minnesota, shall we? Since they're playing that game in that big, cold state called New Jersey, let's just go west, shift north, and find out what's going on in Minnesota this past week. Students there groups, actually, from the African American and African Studies Department, the Black Faculty and Staff Association, the Black Graduate and Professional Student Association, the Black Men's Forum, the Black Student Union, and the Huntley House for African American Males want crime alerts on campus to avoid using racial descriptions. The organization wrote that while campus safety is crucial, profiling can be devastating for black male students. They say campus safety should be of the utmost importance. However, efforts to reduce crime should never be made at the expense of our black men or any specific group of people likely to be targeted. The president of the college said, "I'm concerned that members of your organizations believe there to be an increase in racial programming, profiling. As I stated earlier, profiling will not be tolerated on campus. If there's a concern or a complaint, both the chief of security and I are committed to investigating the matter promptly and thoroughly." Can I also point out all of the groups named in this story have the name African American or black in them?
Yeah.
But they're objecting to the word black or African American as a description of a potential criminal.
Right. They want to do the Channel 13 route where they say a man, and they don't give you much more than that other than
now that's sexist, Chris.
Man wearing a hat.
Yes. A hat and a hoodie and a thing with
hoodie?
And pants.
No, you can't say that.
Blue jeans.
I got one for you. You probably would never have seen this one coming. Someone of let's just say everyone would recognize his name, and he's normally associated with being a huge liberal, which he is, has come out and said that it may not be a great idea to raise the minimum wage.
Really?
I'm talking about Bill Gates. Yeah, that Bill Gates of Microsoft.
The guy who's so generous with his own money.
And he says the reason why, and we've heard this lament from Barack Obama before. Remember when he talked about bank tellers? You don't have many bank tellers anymore because you got the ATM machines and stuff. Well, Bill Gates says, you go jacking up the minimum wage, especially by the amount you're talking about, and watch how the retailers will flock to replacing people with technology.
How about a machine that flips your burger?
Have you gone to any of the Chili's yet where they're not using waiters and waitresses anymore?
No.
You basically get a little handheld, like, tablet thing, and you make your you read your menu, you make your order there, and they bring it to you, and that's that.
And you tip yourself?
Well, yeah, I guess you bring whoever brings it out, but it's not going to be the same dining experience.
We'll be back, folks. 60, the answer.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
It's the third hour of the American Adversaries, and we have a score for you. There are four American Adversaries in the building, and there are none left over. So we're winning 4-0. Jeff Sennis, Lair Adams, Chris Hart, and me, Nostradamus. We lost Carl Jackson, but that's okay, because he's partying at a Cafe Positano's, and you should be, too. You should be on the way there. Ooh. Do I see we have another American adversary on the phone? Chris, would you like to do the honors?
Well, first of all, we have a score, an update. Seattle was near the end zone, and they fumbled on third down and recovered. Denver is challenging the ball.
Oh.
All right, but right now we want to go to our sunny Patricia Summerlin, our California glow girl, who is with us now, coming to us live. A little bit low on the volume there, Jeff. Coming to us live from Los Angeles, California. Hey, Sonny, how you doing this evening?
Hey, guys, how are my bad boys doing?
We're better now that you're here.
Bad boys.
We're Seahawks. Oh, yeah. You're going for the Hawks, are you? Well, I was going to say we're uncharacteristically well-behaved right now, but we'll see what we can do about that. But are you watching the game?
I sure am right now. I'm away from it to talk to you guys and to give you my wonderful news and headlines out here in wonderful Los Angeles. A little bit cloudy.
Yeah, is it?
Even though it's sunny wherever I go.
Of course it is. Of course it is. The Seahawks, are they popular in California because they're from Washington up there? Or is it just everybody just sort of like everywhere else, just whoever you like?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think it's a pro and con for either or. Everyone seems to love Peyton Manning, as we know. But, you know, I say go for the underdog, and that's me. And that's the Seattle Seahawks. Denver Broncos, they've been around. And, you know, hey, Peyton Manning, he's got that name. So we'll see if he can carry it. But I still have a bet on my Seahawks.
Do you? So. Well, Nostradamus is wearing orange tonight. What does he say?
Nostradamus.
I can't read that. What does it say?
It's 8-0 now. Seattle settled for a field goal after retaining possession.
Wow, 8-0. Hey, one touchdown and a 2-point conversion. We got us a tie game. Anyway, 8-0. 8-0 Seattle right now. 8-0. All right. Seattle Mariners right. Over the Colorado. Oh, no, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Seahawks over the Denver Broncos. Okay.
Yeah, Zach, someone had called them chickens, and I'm like, don't call them Seattle Sea Chickens. Hawks is not a chicken.
Well, I know people on Wall Street are hoping the Seahawks win because when the American Conference wins, evidently the stock market supposedly does better.
Oh, wait. Denver is the AFC champion.
Oh, is that right?
Well, Seattle's the NFC champion.
Oh, well, then I guess I got that backwards.
Yeah, NFC. That's okay.
All right. Hey, listen. Amanda Knox was just reconvicted over there in Italy. Now, I know that there was a movie made about her in Hollywood and everything. Is there a lot of buzz about what's going on with her still?
Yes, good old Foxy Noxy, they call her.
Foxy Noxy? Yeah, okay.
Foxy Noxy, yeah, that's her code name. And, you know, some people are mad, and some people are saying, you know, she's still guilty. But, you know, a number of people are stating that she is completely innocent of the crime and that the other man was convicted successfully. They're saying he's the murderer and that none of the evidence really was pointed to her ever. Meredith Kircher?
Kircher, yeah.
That's the girl, yeah. Kirchner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people are saying it's a miscarriage of justice. You know, it's pretty interesting. I kind of feel bad. You know, she was initially convicted, as we know. Confusingly, the verdict was overturned by an Italian appeals court.
Right.
And then, higher court. Now, you know, if she was tried here in the U.S., she would not get a repeated retrial. You know, she would
double jeopardy. Yeah.
Yeah, the Constitution forbids that, suspects from being repeatedly retried. So, you know, what do you guys think? What's your feeling on that?
Well, I think it's a bizarre system that they have over there. I do know that the Italian court system is leaves a lot to be desired. Let's just put it that way, that civil cases can linger for decades in those courts over there.
And public opinion drives so much of their legal system.
Well, I just know that it leaves a whole lot to be desired. They oftentimes will take the summer off and basically close the legal system down over there. It's really kind of bizarre. But now this creates a quandary, if you will, for the administration, because I don't think they've done so yet. But if the Italian government requests an extradition of Amanda Knox, the federal government's going to be put in a position of having to having to deal with that request. So this could turn into an international incident, if you will.
Well, I think so. And, you know, she may choose to appeal the verdict. As we know.
Well, she's made it clear.
Well, she should. Well, Why not? If she's really, truly not guilty, hey, you know, that's a shame to send a young girl away if she really, truly is not
Well, she said she has no intentions of voluntarily going back, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just could just be another little something on a Barack Obama's plate, if you will. So
I got a question for you, Sonny. Are you going to vote for Fluke?
Fluke.
Fluke?
Excuse me?
Vote for Fluke? I've heard it pronounced both ways. I've heard her pronounce it.
Is it
Sandra Fluke?
Is it Sandra Fluke who's going to run for Henry Waxman's seat? Henry Waxman, now the long-term congressman.
You know, I mean, hey, I kind of like her. Fluke. It could be a fluke of a thing. But, the good old Waxman, he's something. And he was, by the way, it wasn't Northern California, it's West L.A.
He's a congressman from West L.A., that's right. Yeah,
West Los Angeles. For 40 years, the man's amazing. I mean, he's got a hall of fame or a wall of shame. I don't know it.
Well, you know, if she does get elected and ends up taking Waxman's seat, at least the government will pay for all her birth control.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye
on that. Subject on that one, but yeah, they call Congressman Waxman tougher than a boiled owl.
Tougher than a boiled owl.
That's right. He was responsible for 50% of the social society as was Social Society Net. Let's say was created by Waxman, and he's did a wonderful job. He has 28 pages of legislative achievements. That's a lot. That's a lot to speak of.
He has definitely had a long career, and he has been influential in Washington, D.C. You know, whether you agree with his politics or not, the guy has had an influence, and there's no question about that. But it'll be interesting to see who steps into that to that seat.
Well, he's a tough old bird, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He, I guess, did a lot of justice for the west side of Los Angeles.
Yeah, he was.
I might want to add, guys, the breaking news here, and I'm sure it is in Florida as well, we lost a wonderful near and dear, I met him once, amazing actor, gone too soon again at age 46, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, we just heard about it.
Possible heroin.
Yeah.
Drug overdose, yeah.
Yeah, Carl had to leave to join his family for the Super Bowl, but... He looked it up, and evidently he had a problem with heroin. When he was a young man, he had gone sober for 23 years.
That's half his life.
And he was 46, and for 23 years he was clean and sober, and then evidently something happened last year. Do you know what it was that drove him back to the needle?
No, but I mean, they found needles, they said, in his arm, actually, at this point. And it could be possibly movies. Peer pressure in the business, as I know, it's tough, guys. It's very, very sad because he was such a talent. You know, he has three children. It seems as though he may have had some trouble at home, but I don't know. I mean, it's not really stating anything on that end.
Well, you said Hollywood is it's a tough business out there in Hollywood in a lot of different ways. The pressure that is put on entertainers, the pressure they put on themselves, and of course all the temptations are right there in front of you. And so if you're going to slip and slide, you're going to slip and slide into some unfortunate situations. But there's other things that go on in Hollywood too, because. You know, on the one hand, a lot of the big Hollywood liberals would, want us to believe that we should, follow the liberal path, if you will. But then they don't always live up to those same expectations they have for the rest of us. And one instance I'm talking about is equal pay for equal work. You know, we hear the president, he brought it up the other night in the State of the Union address. Matter of fact, that was the second largest cheer he got. Of course, the largest one was for Staff Sergeant Remsburg. But the second largest ovation he got was when he said, women should be, I forget exactly how he said it. But he said
the best. Guys, that was the best thing that man has ever said.
He basically said
he stands behind that podium like, It's about darn time.
And he basically, he said a number of things, but one of the things he said was that women should get the same pay for equal work. Well, lo and behold, in Hollywood, where he gets a lot of support, financial support, big time financial support, it turns out that that principle doesn't hold quite true, does it, Sonny?
No, no. But I do have to say one of his big supporters is Mrs. O, and boy, she has a lot of O's behind her, doesn't she?
Oh, sure enough, she does.
So it's a good thing that he does mention women like that. Like he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, but
his sponsorship is coming from women.
He doesn't pay the women in the White House equal.
And what we're finding out is in Hollywood that in particular when actresses and actors get older...
Yeah, the shelf life of a female in Hollywood is much shorter than...
Not only that, but they make less money than the older male actors. Is that well known out there? Is it just accepted as part of the business, Sonny?
Right now, the stats I have on Forbes, and it goes from anywhere from TV to film. I mean, Hugh Jackman, Robert Downey Jr. is at 15 mil. Jason Tatum...
Channing Tatum,
And that tells you, I watched that Mike film because I wanted to see strippers, but that's about it because I never...
Hey.
I'm sure he's a talent, but, you know, I think the older seasonal actors are great. Anthony Hopkins, Robert De Niro, you know...
Yeah, but is it right for an older male actor to be paid more than an older female actor?
Helen Mirren's incredible.
I disagree with that because look at Meryl Streep. Mm-hmm. What an actress. That woman should be on the top billing of anything. Or Judy Dench.
Yeah, Meryl Streep is actually one of the few exceptions to the rule.
Helen Mirren's another.
Where she still draws the big bucks. But she is the exception to the rule. And where it is not an exception for men to draw the big bucks as they get older. Mm-hmm.
No, well, I don't see any men. Well, actually, I do. I would say versus some of the women. What is the hot one on? What's her name? She's a Latin girl. She's hot. She's up there in the billing. But
that's redundant.
I was going to say, if we had Johnny Guns here, he'd know who you're talking about right off the bat. But
Sophia Vergara, guys.
Sophia Viagra. Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
She has the same effect, I guess, right?
in TV per episode, Ashton Kutcher, $750,000 each episode. That's just. You know, Robin Williams, here's one for you. Compared to Ashton Kutcher, only makes
$165,000.
Wow. Crazy ones episode, which just happens to be funny. I love Robin Williams. He's the best. And look at the difference there.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I tell you what, it's you know, like I say, it's something that they make these demands for equal pay and they can't live up to it for their own reasons.
I do want to laud Christopher Hart, though, Sonny, because you and I get paid exactly the same for appearing on The American Adversaries. So he is a good employer.
It's equal treatment around here. That is for sure. Well,
yeah, you know.
Well, Sonny, we were thinking about you last night because we went to the WWE Live event here in Orlando. And so hopefully when you get here to Florida, we can spend some time with you, maybe catch a wrestling match or something.
Oh, that would be great. What are you talking about? I'm going to put you guys in the ring with me.
Oh my goodness. Oh, no.
We're going to do a Royal Rumble.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Love the idea.
And then I'm going to bring my surfboard, and then maybe, you know.
You and I are going surfing, girl.
You break away.
Yeah. Larry wants to show you the waves over here on the east coast of Florida. Hey, Sonny.
There we go.
You enjoy the rest of the game, and thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
It's my pleasure, guys. And be good out there. Behave, my sexy bad boys.
Okay.
Do
we have to behave?
All right. Thank you, Sonny.
Okay. When you're bad, you're better.
That's it. Thanks, girl.
All right.
By the way, this just in, straight from Jay Carney, press secretary for Obama. Her name is pronounced Fluck. So Lara's right.
All right. We'll be right back.
Tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American Adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
And here's why you should continue listening to the American Adversaries, at least tonight. This from Carl. Seattle scores again. It's now 14-0, and I guess they're going to kick the extra point. 14-0 before the point, and the Broncos, are choking. It's not even a game right now. Ooh. Carl's wife is not going to be pleased with that. By the way, folks, I wish I could, but I cannot begin to tell you some of the bumper sticker ideas I was getting from the guys here for Sandra Fluck's campaign.
Just suffice it to say they're awesome.
Yeah, well, let's just don't even go there right now. All right. Listen, we've given away a couple of bottles of Roxy Pacifics tonight, but I want to give away one more. This is going to be on the rocks, on Ed Roxy. If you have not won a bottle of Roxy Pacifics before, call us right now at 407-774-8255, and Ed Roxy will send you a bottle of this great new all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. And I'm serious. Everybody should have a bottle of this in your medicine cabinet, maybe even carry a little bottle of it in your car. You never know when you're going to, get that little nick or cut, paper cut, or whatever, maybe an insect bite. This is great for all of those things. It's also great for the chronic conditions that plague us. So first caller, 407-774-8255, gets that free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net.
And you will order more. Take it from me.
It is absolutely great stuff. There's no question about that. And I just want to mention one more time, Dan Peterson. If you want to be a part of his Coalition for Property Rights, go to info@proprights.com. That's info@proprights.com. If you want to go to the Issues Forum, that'll be at the Orlando Country Club at noon on Thursday, give him a call at 407-481-2289. That's 407-481-2289. This past week, in 1 week, of course, we had three days where we should have remembered, if we could have, the astronauts that we lost, in our space program. You know, to me, astronauts and test pilots are some of the bravest of the brave. I mean, everybody who's in the military is a brave person in my mind. Just to join takes a bit of bravery, if you will. But when it comes to day in and day out, your job, I guess bomb disposals will be right up there. But being an astronaut or a test pilot, you're always out there. That you're basically, your job is to test stuff and go places where no one has ever gone before. But it doesn't always work out. Many test pilots have been killed test flying jet aircraft, airplanes, aircraft of all sort. But of course, we remember the more vivid ones, if you will, and those often concern our space program. And of course, the Apollo fire I think it was 1967, and then you had the Challenger explosion and the breakup of Columbia. These are people who, no other better way to say it, but accept that risk when they take the job. And it's always a possibility every time that when we put one of these vehicles into use, that the thing is just going to turn into a tremendous explosion of sorts. So it never is too late or never too early to remember the type of people that it takes to make these great achievements. And, of course, the person that puts himself at the end of the line, so to speak, is the one who end up takes the worst of the risk and oftentimes takes the brunt of the risk. And such was the case with our astronauts. And I just would like to take this few minutes to remember these astronauts. And Nostradamus, please.
I don't have the Apollo names. Do you want to?
The Apollo names are Ed White, Gus Grissom, and Roger Chaffee were, of course, burned to death in that oxygen fire.
From 1986's Challenger disaster, Dick Scobie, Michael J. Smith, Judith Resnick, Ronald McNair, Allison Onizuka, Gregory Jarvis, and Krista McAuliffe. And from the Columbia disaster, that broke up on its way across Texas back to the Cape back in 2003, 10 years ago yesterday. Rick Husband, William McCool, Michael Anderson, Kalpana Chawla, David M. Brown, Laurel Clark, and Elon Roman Wilferman.
Great, brave souls, great Americans, please say a prayer for them tonight and a prayer for their families. Now we'll just leave you with a moment of silence.
Hola, folks! If you're watching the Super Bowl, it's so far not a pretty picture, so we'll ignore it. This is the American Adversaries. Lair Adams here with Christopher Hart. Nostra Dennis in the studio with us. On the line, we have Johnny Guns himself. But before we go there, we want to let you know that David from Longwood has won our Roxy Pacifics. And again, David will use it, and he will order more. I know these things. Anyway, folks, this is that part of the show where we have the WTF news. I don't even want to mention why it's called WTF. I'll let Johnny Guns and Nostra Dennis, since they both have some WTFs, mention either one. So who are we going to first, Nostra Dennis, you or the famous, infamous Johnny Guns?
Let's do the guy who's phoning it in.
Yeah, that's right. That would be me, phoning it in. You guys remember last season, the big game was in New Orleans, and, well, I was broadcasting live from the Big Easy Chair.
Yeah.
Well, this year, I'm wearing a number 18 shirt that I just got, so I'm going to say that I'm broadcasting in New Jersey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You guys sent me to the big time here. I'm broadcasting in New Jersey. And when you broadcast in New Jersey, you meet some interesting folk. Like a man facing felony charges in Washington State for an alleged drunken high-speed police chase received permission from a judge to attend the Super Bowl right here in New Jersey. Superior Court Judge James Dixon signed the order to allow a 42-year-old Seattle man to fly to New Jersey to attend the big game. The man's attorney says that the defendant has what may be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see his hometown team play in the Super Bowl. Now, the man was arrested December 29th when he allegedly led officers on a high-speed chase through the city that ended with the man crashing his vehicle into a house and a parked car before coming to stop in a church parking lot.
That'll stop you.
Yeah. Police said the man had a passenger with him who begged him to stop and eventually jumped from the moving vehicle when it was traveling at a slower speed. The man who allegedly got out of the car led police on a chase on foot. As they say, he was allegedly drunk at the time of the incident, and he's facing charges of felony eluding a police officer, as well as misdemeanor DUI and hit and run. This guy better enjoy the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks better win, because when he gets home, he's going to jail.
I hope he drove there.
I tell you what, like I said, when you're broadcasting here in New Jersey, you meet a lot of interesting folk, like this guy that won free tickets to the Super Bowl. And how did he do it? Well, he was watching TV, and a Super Bowl commercial for Old Spice came on. In it, you could see a girl give a guy her phone number. Well, it wasn't one of those 555, you know, obviously fake numbers. So the guy decided, well, what the hey, I'll call it. It was an unpublicized giveaway where the first person to call the number got Super Bowl tickets.
Whoa!
Nice.
This guy, Scott Knowlton, called the non-555 number and was rewarded with two tickets to today's game.
Cute, huh? That's observant.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, said Scott. He said, I saw this girl giving her number to the guy in the commercial. Turned out it was a real number, so I called it. He got the Super Bowl tickets, but he said actually he was hoping to meet the girl.
I was going to say, did the girl deliver the tickets or did she come with the pack? Was it a package deal?
that would have been the ultimate win-win, and then he could have taken her to the game.
Amen. Amen to that. All right.
I better get back. Because after all, as you know, I am in a New Jersey, so yeah. Got to get back to the game, guys.
Yeah, Johnny, in that New Jersey, be careful around the bridge. There are backup hiccups all over.
I will. I hope it won't take me 4 hours to get home.
All right. Give your brother a big hug for us, if you would, please.
Will do, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Johnny Guns. We appreciate it. Appreciate you and appreciate it. All right. Nostra Dennis, you got one or two, and I got one or two here as well.
I got a few more. I wasn't sure how much Johnny would be able to provide, seeing as how he was in his New Jersey. It's looking like Eli the Ape is getting smarter and smarter the more this game goes along. An ape in Utah in the Salt Lake City Zoo has correctly picked the Super Bowl winner for six straight years. He predicted on Thursday that the Seahawks would be the next championship. What they do is they put little papier-mâché helmets of both teams in his enclosure. He runs in, and the one that he destroys and rips into pieces ends up winning the game, at least has every game since 2006. Eli ended up ripping apart the Seahawks papier-mâché logo. With a name like Eli, you got to think he just wanted Seattle to win because he didn't want to get any more grief at Thanksgiving from his brother Peyton the orangutan.
Hey, let me do one real quick. Speaking of animals, did you know that elephants can have too much junk in the trunk?
Never heard of that. Never, ever heard of that.
Elephants can be obese. I didn't know this either.
How do you know?
I thought that's the way they were supposed to be. But no, evidently, according to according to scientists, many elephants in U.S. zoos have the same problem as visitors who gawk at them. They are fat. Now, I didn't say this. This is in the Wall Street Journal article entitled "Elephants with Too Much Junk in the Trunk Get a Fat Farm." Pachyderm preserve planned in California for near wild herd. As it turns out, yes, even elephants can be overweight, which can lead to heart disease and many of the similar ailments that it can lead to in human beings. So they're going to have a fat farm for elephants.
Here, I thought peanut oil was good for you. No? I guess not. How about
all
this
I
one?
Can say about that, Chris, is tusk.
You guys know what a prop bet is? A propositional bet. This is what happens every Super Bowl. They come up with.
An officer arrested me for a propositional I think it's the same thing.
Oh.
They have the strangest bets, and you can bet on one or the other direction. For instance, how long will it take Renee Fleming to sing the official U.S. national anthem at the Super Bowl? Over or under 2 minutes 25 seconds. And in Vegas, you can actually bet on these things.
Yeah, that's right.
Will the national anthem in seconds be greater than the number of passing yards Peyton Manning has in the first half of the game? It looks like the anthem's going to be the over because Peyton's not having a good first half, at least.
As a matter of fact, I just got this from Carl, another scoring update. 22-0 Seattle.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness.
Peyton has thrown his second interception. I guess Seattle capitalized on it. 22-0.
Look at that. Mm. Other props, how many times will Peyton Manning say Omaha during the game? Because that's part of his cadence.
Right.
He throws in words that mean nothing, and Omaha's one of his favorites. The over-under there is 27.5. What will Bruno Mars be wearing on his head at the start of his halftime performance? A fedora, a fur hat, a toque, or nothing? And finally, if the Broncos win, will Peyton Manning retire before game one of next season? Well, we can just throw that one out right now.
And Dennis, I have to ask you, what is a toque?
It's a Canadian hat.
It is, yeah.
It's got the fur flaps on it.
Okay. Yeah, you know those fur flaps that you like the Mounties wear?
That was a character in The Hobbit, too.
By the way, you mentioned Bruno Mars. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about the jelly donut on Mars?
Oh, my goodness.
Elvis's face is there, isn't
it? No. That's the monkey face. That's a whole different thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm talking about this was in, today's Orlando Sentinel, talking about the jelly donut rock lands NASA in legal jam. A scientist by the name of Ron Joseph, who describes himself as a neuroscientist and astrobiologist, filed court papers last week demanding that NASA do more to investigate a mysterious rock known as the jelly donut. I'm now showing my colleagues a couple of photographs. The first photograph was taken by the Mars rover.
Wow.
You can see on the ground there is not the jelly donut.
No, it's not there.
In the second photograph, there is the jelly donut.
Yeah.
How did it get there?
Yeah.
Who put it there?
Wow.
NASA is saying that perhaps the rover kicked it, you know, with one of its tires or something and landed it into this position. Now, this particular scientist doesn't necessarily believe that, and he says they need to go back and study this thing because not only is it sort of unusual that it appeared on Mars out of nowhere, so to speak, right? But it also is intriguing in the appearance of the rock. The reason they call it a jelly donut is because it appears to be a white rock with like a rust red colored center to it. And this guy thinks that that rust red color may actually be some sort of bacteria or life on Mars. But NASA, being as curious as they sometimes are not, does not seem to be particularly interested in researching or releasing what they may already know about the jelly donut rock.
Now, if there's a jelly donut on Mars, and if the moon is made of green cheese, that's a nice little snack there, I'll tell you, right between the two of those planets.
I don't know. It's getting weirder and weirder.
Well, the only life on Mars, obviously, is going to be involved with police work.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, hey, quickie.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Army Lieutenant Chuck Nadd from Winter Park.
Yes.
He is appearing in a commercial in the Super Bowl for Budweiser.
Yeah, I was wondering why they were doing that big production over there. Now we know why. It was Anheuser.
Way to go.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we got Lair's closing comments, and then I'm going to talk about PC bangs. And no, I'm not talking about a politically correct sexual maneuver. PC bangs. You'll find out more about those in the next segment of The American Adversary.
Yeah, the girlfriend, she cut her PC bangs and ended up looking weird.
All right, we'll be right back.
Come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
And boy, it looks like the Denver Broncos are having a lesson taught to them.
Mm-hmm.
But don't worry. You've got 12 more minutes of us, and then you can go and do whatever you want to do. We release you to do and listen to whatever you want. Nostra Dennis here with the American Adversaries, Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, and Jeff Sinis pushing the buttons in the other room. And it's the last segment on our way home to shore, so it is time for Lair's closing comments.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Folks, it's the day of the big game. Well, or another day of the big game. Game. What an interesting word. It can mean a competition, physical or otherwise. It can mean prey, as in big game hunter. I don't think they are referring to people trying to find the Super Bowl. Or it can mean acceptance to new things or ideas, such as, sure, I'm game. Meaning, of course, you'll do it. However, most agree that a game is usually played for fun. Generally, you don't imagine two combatants whacking away at each other with swords, axes, clubs, sticks, knives, or bottles, or doing it for fun. It's not a game. This makes me wonder how many people are watching or are involved in the game tonight. And how many want to watch a sword fight? To the players or combatants, it's not a game. They are not only paid handsomely, but are at the highest visibility their careers can achieve. To the owners and the league, this is the pre-Christmas rush for money. The bean counters don't think it's a game. TV and advertisers couldn't care less if there even is a game, so long as their commercials are the Macy's Day Parade for newest Madison Avenue shilling. For food sellers, it's another Thanksgiving. They're game for that. Big screen TV dealers have lots of games on their wares this time of year. Add a B and L to game, and you can gamble on the outcome of the spectacle. But that, again, takes the fun out. So now we get down to you, the viewer. Are you uptight about the chances of your pick losing? Are you so sure your team will prevail, you will feel lousy for a week after? Hey, many will. To some, their hero's failing cuts deep into their own soul, forgetting it's a game. Yes, it's far more brutal than tic-tac-toe, ping-pong, or pool, but it started out purely as a game. Remember that as you stuff yourself. And never forget rule number one, never throw anything at the TV. Run out for a long pass, and have a great week.
All right. Great job, Lair Adams. So apropos, actually.
And while Lair was talking,
yeah.
Well, the Seahawks are not winning 15-0 anymore.
22 to nothing.
Yeah,
22 to nothing. That's right. So how many are watching? Well, probably right now a few less Denver fans, unfortunately, for the Denver Broncos.
They can do it. They can come back.
It's starting to remind me of when the Washington Redskins and Reggie Branch, our great friend, spanked the Broncos back in the 80s there.
All Peyton has to do is get 30 points in a row, and my prediction will be pretty darn close.
You just hang on to that. And, folks, you can catch the game if you're not already over at Cafe Positano. Come on over if you've got nothing else to do tonight. Join us watching the rest of the game. And it's still time to get in on that raffle drawing for that 60-inch color LED. I guess you don't have to say color anymore, but LED sharp television. It's beautiful television, and somebody's going to go home with that thing tonight.
And, folks, they have some great, you don't have to.
Two-for-one draft beer and house wine.
You get finger food. They have the mozzarella sticks. They have chicken tenders. And then, of course, their full menu till 9:30, I think.
Yep. Still a lot going on over there. I'm heading over there
and
momentarily sink my teeth into some of that good Italian food. I just want to remember real quickly Chuck Morgan. Some of you folks out there probably don't know who Chuck Morgan is. Chuck Morgan, of course, started and ran for many, many, many years Morgan Appliances, which is still there on West Church Street in downtown Orlando. And a lot of you in our listening audience know Chuck Morgan via his son, John Morgan, the Bush impersonator. Great family, great people. And Chuck Morgan was a great man and just a great businessman here in Central Florida. Not any great notoriety or anything like that. He just went about his business every day, providing a good service, a good product, and a helpful hand, if you will.
And folks, that is the John Morgan that's the minister, not the John Morgan the attorney.
Yeah, this is the Bush impersonator, and Morgan the attorney looks more like Buddy Dyer. I saw him on TV today. I thought he was Buddy Dyer for a few minutes. They both need to go to that elephant fat farm. But anyway, Chuck Morgan was a great, decent man, simple man, but that's all it takes for some people to be great. And so we just want to remember Chuck Morgan and his son, John, and their family at this time.
You know, Chris, a great man is someone who's great to his family.
And
to heck with the rest of the world.
And that's what Chuck Morgan was, exactly was. Okay, I sort of teased this going out of the last break, talking about PC bangs. Have you guys ever heard of a PC bang?
Never have. Look at my head.
All right. Well,
haven't seen bangs in decades.
Pre-Columbian bang.
All right. Well, let me just tell you about the plight of Kwon Ki-young. Kwon Ki-young's ideal evening is spent getting shot at in a smoky room with the windows blacked out. To Mr. Kwon's dismay, South Korea's regulators are now making that room more hygienic. Mr. Kwon, you see, is a regular at one of South Korea's roughly 12,000 internet cafes known as PC bangs. Bang is the Korean word for room. Dotted throughout the country's towns and cities, PC bangs are the perfect venue for South Korea's legions of serious video gamers. What's going on there is people go into these places and they play their games.
World of Warcraft, Doom, Myst,
four, all those four, things. 6 hours, days sometimes. Well, I mean, not days, but they may stay there for many, many hours. And they'll sit there and they'll eat and they'll smoke and they'll do all their stuff as they sit there and they play their game. And most people that go to these bangs have no problem with people smoking in their bangs. But evidently, the South Korean government, in the tradition of the progressive liberal, does not think that the PC bangers should be allowed to live their life the way they should want, the way they want to live their life. So they're basically making these bangs outlaw smoking and take other measures to bring them up to snuff, so to speak. And of course, the bangers, the PC bangers, are not at all happy about this, nor should they be. And this is the problem with prohibition.
And I'm going to be addressing this. Carl had a really great show yesterday morning. One of the callers called our show to compliment him on it. And however, I'm going to take the other side of the argument. And the reason I'm going to do that is because all of these things are expressions of progressive liberalism. And once you allow them in the name of it's for your own good to prohibit this or that, they are going to soon prohibit the other thing as well. And that is part of the problem. We didn't like it when Mayor Bloomberg came out with outlawing the big cups of Coke. What's the difference between that and outlawing a reefer, a joint? It's all for your own good, isn't it? It's, and same thing with the bangs, the bang rooms over there. If these kids want to go in those bang rooms and sit there all day and smoke cigarettes, it's their right. Now, is it the right thing for them to do with their lives? I might not think so, but it is up to me to convince them of that. Not for me to tell them, I don't like what you're doing, therefore I'm going to outlaw it. That is not the way to lead to a truly progressive society. That is the way to take us backwards into tyranny, because that is all that that path will lead you to, is to the door of tyranny. And so I love Carl to death, and he makes some very good arguments. But in my mind, we cannot just simply concentrate on the addiction problem of drugs. There is a whole cornucopia of other problems that we can deal with, and then I feel more effectively deal with the addiction problem. But I'll be laying out my argument as we go along. Medical marijuana is on the ballot, and if the polling numbers are true, it is going to pass overwhelmingly. So we need to talk about it. We will talk about it.
All right. And Chris, didn't you at one time mention that there's a word for a law that when is enacted, nobody obeys? I mean, when nobody obeys the law, it's basically a waste of time. I believe that, I don't know what the phrase is.
I don't recall saying that other than maybe Obamacare. But I don't recall off the top of my head there is a word for that. But there is a reason why our founding fathers did not want laws to be easily passed, because they knew with every single law, and it does not matter the intent, the motivation, whatever is behind the law, they knew that with every single new law, we give up a piece of our freedom. That is the reality. That is why they wanted it to be darn near impossible to pass new laws. That's why they made our system an adversarial form of government, and that's why they made the Senate the way they made it.
And that's why you call this show
The American Adversaries. And we are all out of time tonight, folks. Once again, thanks for being with us. Tune in tomorrow, where we're going to have Abe Katzman, and we're going to reveal the name of our studio.
Oh, I can't wait.
We're winner of the game tonight?
And we'll reveal that too.
We'll talk about that too,
And maybe the winner of the TV. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660.